knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Hey.
Dan.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today, Jordan, is that the family of Celine's adopted children continues to grow.
What?
As Ashley has sent an adoption of a snow leopard.
Thank you.
So now we've got a snow
that's
leopard.
That's amazing.
A baby elephant.
Oh.
A whale.
That's so good. You're going to need to do, here's the problem with animal drops.
And a quokka.
And Alex.
Quokka.
Yeah, of course. It's pronounced quokka.
Yeah.
The problem is all of Alex's animal drop related stuff would be like, I killed this dog. And you're right. Like, no, that's not what we want for our wildlife thing.
No. It gives the entirely wrong message.
Yes.
But I'm very excited about this extended family that is growing. Snow leopards. Very adorable.
Beautiful.
Big cat.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, is my partner and I are headed to scenic Oregon. We're going to head up and...
Great time to...
Yeah, no, we were thinking it's really hot here, but it wasn't on fire.
Right.
So we were like, let's go to where it's on fire, mm-hmm. You know, like a real one.
Yeah,
you know?
you pick your traveling times.
Interestingly.
Yes.
Yeah.
That should be fun, though. Have you been to the West Coast?
We've been to the West Coast, but not the Northwest.
Okay.
Not the Pacific Northwest.
It is a bit different.
Yeah.
Along the north end, more south ends of the West Coast. Very, very different sort of wildlife. Different landscape.
Yeah. We're doing that. We're going to go adventure all around the whole place. We're going to go to the coast. We're staying in a treehouse.
Oh, wow.
In the middle of, like, real unplug. That
uh-huh.
kind of shit. Like, in the middle of nowhere. So I'm going to whine the whole time.
Sure.
About how I don't have all of my electronic tools. I wish I could play games. But it's going to be a very exciting adventure.
Yeah, I'm thrilled for you and a little bit jealous because, you know, I like to be in the woods.
I know.
I hope you all have a great time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that it leads us into a little bit of an admin-based conversation.
There we go.
This trip of yours snuck up on me a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
Time has a certain way of being that way.
Yeah.
And I knew that you were going to go on this trip, and I'd wanted to like record episodes in advance in order to make sure that we could keep the ball rolling and what have you. But the reality is between my toe surgery and feeling bad and then not feeling bad, and then now guess what? Surprise!
I feel
like shit again.
Yeah, there we go.
been sick for last couple days. It's been really difficult, so we're just gonna be off for the week.
That's the plan.
Yeah, but there won't be a Friday episode because unless some crazy inspiration strikes.
Yeah.
And I record something with fill in Jordan.
Yes.
Otherwise, while you're gone, I'm going to be recovering.
Please recover.
And doing some admin work. I got a couple of irons that I might heat up a tiny bit.
Of course.
Might take a Bic lighter to that
to that crack pipe.
Yeah. In my mind,
yes.
I was thinking more of like an iron that you use to flatten your clothes.
Right.
And I'm heating it up
with a Bic lighter.
Because it's very efficient.
Okay.
You went with a crack pipe.
I went with a crack pipe.
Great.
I mean, I feel like that's better than cooking heroin in a spoon.
I wasn't talking about cooking heroin. I was talking about heating up an iron.
Right. I forgot that part.
Have fun in the woods.
Well, I'll have a lot of heroin.
Sure. So, Jordan, today we got an episode to go over, and unfortunately, there's not a lot to talk about. There's a couple of important themes that I think run through this, but I do not have very many clips because
not a lot of meat on this bone.
Whoa, Nelly. No, so this is June 3rd, 2003, and you know, going back in the past, because Alex has been a little bit disappointing in the present, I didn't really have much more to say. I don't want to just constantly talk about
how disappointing he is in the present.
Well, and COVID stuff. Like, I don't want to do that every single episode.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's things that really fascinate me about the past, and there's things that I really want to learn more about, and you know, if I have that option in front of me, certainly, if I'm also not feeling well, I would rather do that.
Totally.
Than... So I went back to this, and it's just kind of blah.
Okay.
It's not great.
Okay.
About an hour and 15, hour and 20 of this three-hour episode is Alex interviewing a family about a situation, a medical situation that makes almost no sense.
Okay.
It has to do with the mother getting a hepatitis test positive. She tested positive for hepatitis.
Sure.
And then something had to be done because she was giving birth.
What?
You know, because she had a child.
Yeah, that's tough.
Right. And then it turned out it might have been a false positive.
Right.
And this is a conspiracy somehow.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Okay.
The, most of the stuff that sounds really nefarious about the interview breaks down to one of the... One of the reasons it's really difficult is because there's like four people on the line that Alex is talking to.
Great.
The mom, the dad, the grandma, and a doctor, who I think is their aunt.
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
Everybody wants to hear a bad podcast.
It's out of control. I couldn't handle it. And like the only thing that they say that even rises to the level of like, I don't know about this, is like one of them says that the nurse or the doctor was like, "We don't want your money. We just want your firstborn child."
Okay. All right. And, okay. So we're bringing back orphan trains. Is that what's going on?
And to me, I heard that and I thought, well, there's about a 5% chance this is someone making an awful joke.
Yeah.
Awful joke.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
About a 95% chance this was misheard, and it was them saying, "We don't want your money. We want your firstborn child to be healthy.
Yes. To be born safe.
Yes.
To be alive.
Yeah.
We're focused on the health outcomes. Yes. The money's not.
We want what's best for your child.
Exactly.
We're not trying to get rich off your."
The nurse isn't like, "Hey, man, I'm gonna need this up front."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so they keep circling around this, and Alex keeps pointing it out, and I was listening to it, like, oh my God. Says just nothing. It's just
that's brutal.
And so yeah, I mean, you know, when you got a 3-hour episode and you got an hour and 20, it's nothing.
Well
here we are. So we'll get down to business on this here, Jordan. But before we do, let's take a little moment to say thank you to some folks who've signed up and are supporting the show as
well. That's a great idea.
So first, Gentleman Scholar signs in San Francisco. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Jordan disgustedly saying, "What? Nick Fuentes is better than his laugh." Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
What?
Apparently, you disgustedly said what at Nick Fuentes.
That sounds like something I do.
It does.
Thank you.
Next, Rabbi Dave. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Rabbi Dave.
Thank you. Next, Jordan, but not that one. The one that makes beer by the river. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, hot single rainbow dildo butt monkeys in your area. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
I just wish more people would say rainbow dildo butt monkey in, like, just drop it in any conversation
sure.
you can.
Sure.
Any conversation you can. Thank you.
And then finally, we got a technocrat. Come to Blue Ridge Rock Festival. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why are you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
This honestly is not sponsored content.
Okay, good. I was waiting for next episode where we're like, all right, and the next technocrat is everybody drink Pepsi. God damn it. God damn it.
I reserve the right to say whatever I want about this festival. I was looking over the lineup.
What do we got?
I haven't studied this lineup, but we got Tech N9ne.
Okay.
On there from Kansas City.
Sure.
Rapper Tech N9ne.
Yes. Yeah.
I've scrolled way too far down. We got the they got headliners of Rob Zombie. Director of Halloween movies.
All right. I was going to go with House of a Thousand Corpses.
Limp Bizkit.
Is that a cover band?
I know that they were still like a unit.
I thought they were all dead.
No.
Fred Durst is like a TV director now, weirdly enough.
You just know that because I keep bringing up that he directed an episode of House.
Exactly. That's all I know.
He also directed that movie with Ice Cube, where there was a young girl who played football.
Oh, are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet, too?
Are we still not there?
That's right.
Bush.
Just Bush?
Bush is on the lineup.
Glycerine Bush?
Yeah, Glycerine Bush. Gavin Rosdale Bush.
He was great in Constantine. It really launched his acting career.
Yeah, I forgot that he was in that.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yep.
Yeah, he was not great in it.
Ludacris, fresh off his appearance in Fast
F9.
9?
Hey, man, Luda has fallen far if he's co-headlining with Bush.
I don't think he's co-headlining.
Ooh.
He's a couple of rows down.
Oh, no, Luda!
Special guest, Steve-O.
Cool.
His plug may have not gone exactly as intended.
If you like those bands, you're already going.
So, Jordan,
yes,
here we are, there's one sort of prevailing narrative that goes throughout the large part of the show, and that is about Eric Rudolph. Do you remember him?
I remember the name. I don't remember exactly what he did.
He was the guy who was the actual bomber at the Olympics.
That's him. Yeah. 96.
Richard Jewell is a name that people remember much more because he was the first suspect who had a very terrible time with that, and it was very unfair.
Really, real bullshit.
But Eric Rudolph is the actual person he confessed, and boy, he had a lot of ideas that were fairly similar to Alex.
I do recall around this time many bombers had very similar ideas to Alex.
So this conversation surrounding Eric Rudolph is happening in the press, and Alex is not very happy about this because they are pointing out that Eric Rudolph is somebody who has a lot of ties to Christian identity type groups, and they seem to be the kind of beliefs that were motivating his bombing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good because we saw it. We saw the real problem that it was going to be. We addressed it, and we focused on outreach efforts and education, and now we don't have to deal with this type of stuff anymore, right?
Mm. So the thing, too, that you have to remember is that Eric Rudolph didn't just set off the bomb at Olympic Park. Mm-hmm. There was also multiple bombings of abortion clinics and a gay bar.
So he got away with multiple bombings.
Yes, he had committed other bombings in addition
Holy
to this.
Shit.
Well, I mean, I guess he got charged with everything. But those are other things that are indicative of the reasons that he did the things he did.
Yeah.
And even the Olympic bombing was motivated by
multiculturalism.
I guess.
Something along those lines.
Somewhat. I mean, that's definitely a piece of it, but it is more virulent anti-abortion activism.
Right. The targets are the message.
Sure. If you read his confession, yes, definitely.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know
the
mean?
Socialist cultural mixing that goes into the Olympics.
There
I wanted to embarrass them. And,
there it goes. Yep.
So there's a bit of that. Alex has decided that he's innocent.
Oh.
And he talks a little bit about Christian identity in this clip. And I find his awareness and non-awareness of things impossible to coexist in a human brain.
We'll also get into Eric Rudolph, and do you think he's really guilty after they already tried to grab two other people, not just Richard Jewell, it was some other guy they said they thought had done it. Now they say they're sure Rudolph has carried all of this out, and here's the headline out of the Washington Post, very predictable. Is terrorism tied to Christian sect? Is terrorism tied to Christian sect? Religion may have motivated bombing suspect. Perhaps it needs to be banned. And the FBI and FEMA don't just train the police that Christian identity people are terrorists, which of course they're not. They also train the police that all Christians of any type, if they believe in a second coming of Christ, if they believe in homeschooling, if they're against vaccinations, if you're pro-Second Amendment, if you're a, quote, defender of the U.S. Constitution, that you are a terrorist. Now, I may not agree with the tenets British Israelism. That's basically what it is. The Queen of England says that she's really Jewish, and she's coronated on a stone from, Baghdad, from Babylon.
That's specific information.
That they're the true lost tribe, and that's really where all of this grew out of. And of course, there was a large migration of some Middle Easterner people, including Jews, into what you could call medieval England. So I guess there's some truth to that, but it doesn't really matter, and I don't want to get off into a big, long discussion and argument about that.
I wouldn't if I were you as well. So, first of all, Eric Rudolph totally did the Atlanta Olympics bombing. He pled guilty to the crime along with multiple other bombings, which were inspired mostly by his opposition to abortion.
Right.
There are very strong indications that Rudolph was a follower of the Christian Identity movement and had been in touch with affiliated militant groups like the Army of God. This doesn't seem like a big stretch, even if you are only judging from his own statements. That said, I find this fascinating. Alex simultaneously is totally aware of British Israelism and is totally lying about what it is. He admits to, like we covered this in a past episode, he admitted to listening to and admiring David J. Smith on the radio through his younger years, which would be impossible if he thinks that the description he just gave of British Israelism is correct. It's just not possible. It's bizarre. This is definitely an instance of Alex making up a straw man so he doesn't have to deconstruct the beliefs of Christian identity communities, because if he did so, there would be glaring overlap with his own beliefs.
Well,
Alex also desperately doesn't want to engage with the similarities between himself and someone like Eric Rudolph, because ultimately, Eric Rudolph was bombing the Olympics and reproductive health clinics, but he was also in the process pointing a finger at people like Alex. From his confession, quote, "Those who call themselves pro-life and who claim that abortion is murder and that those who use force to prevent it are just as morally reprehensible as the abortionists, for these I have nothing to say other than that you are liars, hypocrites, and cowards. There's no more fundamental duty for a moral citizen than to protect the innocent from assault. That is inherent in the values of all higher civilizations. You have the right, the responsibility, and the duty to come to the defense of the innocent when the innocent are under assault. Would you protect your children from the clutches of a murderer? Would you protect your neighbors' children if they were under assault? If you answered yes to both of these, then you must support the use of force as justified in attempting to prevent the murder that is abortion."
That's very straightforward.
Sure.
Direct. They're all a bunch of hypocrites and cowards.
He's arguing that it is a moral necessity to support violence in the service of opposing abortion.
I mean, I suppose if you are, if you are accepting that their logic is abortion is murder, and that Alex is right when he says we've murdered millions of babies or whatever,
and brought the wrath of Satan upon us,
and brought the literal wrath of God upon us, then yes, I don't see how you can't follow that logic through. And he's right. If you do believe that and you don't do anything, then you're a coward and a hypocrite.
Well, yeah.
You just don't actually believe it because it's not true.
I can disagree with Eric Rudolph and Alex fine. Alex has a difficult line to walk if he wants to disagree with what this guy is putting out. Because they agree in substance.
Yeah.
And Alex's rhetoric implies what right. Eric Rudolph believes.
Right.
But Alex can't own the end conclusion of his own positions.
I mean, imagine Alex saying, and the reason that he did this in his thing is because we've aborted too many babies. Just like how yesterday I said, we've aborted too many babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric Rudolph's confession is essentially a call to arms to the right wing to engage in active violence against a government that he feels is illegitimate, largely because of the fact that abortion is legal. Another quote from his confession. Quote, 225 years ago, our ancestors overthrew their government because they were not being represented for purposes of taxation. Tell me, you good patriots, is the casus belli of taxation without representation more weighty than the deliberate murder of 50 million people? You lie, and your lies will find you. That's a directed call out at people like Alex, who use talk of extremism to make money, but don't support the cause enough to do actual extremism.
Yeah.
Someone like Alex doesn't have a good rebuttal to that argument, so the best thing to do is to insist that Rudolph must be a patsy. It doesn't matter that he confessed and explained his actions in detail, it's still a false flag, because the alternative is a threat to Alex's self-image,
which
is that of a crusading hero of the right wing.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough whenever terrorism happens and you are the person who's like, man, terrorism should really happen, but I don't want it to happen. Mm-hmm. That would be terrible. I don't want anybody to get hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, the only prescription is terrorism, but mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to get hurt because I'm a good person. You should hurt people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's tough to foster the ecosystem that creates and perpetuates events like this, because in order to do it, you have to denounce the actual things,
yeah.
but you can't actually denounce them.
Yeah.
You have to rewrite them as fake in order to be like, well, yeah, people should be blowing up abortion clinics, but we would never do that. We would never do that. And the fact that this guy did that is evidence that he was probably the feds.
Right, right. That's funny. I just realized now that the right wing probably does feel a little jealousy towards ISIS, you know, because they just get to come out and be like, hey, we love terrorism. They don't have to play the game of being like, terrorism is bad, but go do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't get to have as much fun. Alex has to work twice as hard.
So Alex seems to be, you know, he has a difficult line to walk with this stuff with Eric Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
But even beyond like that dumb game that he's trying to play, he's also just like straight up lying. Like, here is him, like, this is from the clip we just listened to, but just the section where he's pretending to read a headline.
And here's the headline out of the Washington Post, very predictable: is terrorism tied to Christian sect? Is terrorism tied to Christian sect? Religion may have motivated bombing suspect. Perhaps it needs to be banned.
How much of that do you think is the actual headline? Based on the tone of voice he's using, it sounds like all of that is from the article,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it's got to just be, is terrorism tied to religious sect?
Yeah, tied to Christian sect.
Yeah,
the rest of it is just editorializing that's made to sound like it's part of the headline.
Yeah, why would the Washington Post be like, maybe we should ban this Christian sect? You know the thing we can do. You know, the thing that's not enshrined in the fucking Constitution.
There is no suggestion at any point that Christian identity should be banned. All of that is just Alex creating a more exciting story to distract from the main point of this article, which is that Eric Rudolph did in fact have ties to Christian identity groups, and it seems very likely that his acts of terrorism were at least partially inspired by his religious beliefs.
Yeah.
There's a nice quote from Idaho State University sociology professor James Aho in this article. Quote, I would prefer to say that Rudolph is a religiously inspired terrorist, because most mainstream Christians would consider Christian identity to be a heresy, Aho said. If Christians take umbrage at the juxtaposition of the words Christian and terrorist, he added, quote, that may give them some idea of how Muslims feel when they constantly hear the term Islamic terrorism, especially since the September 11th attacks.
I refuse to learn! No!
Yep. So Alex just has this whole like problem with the idea that the term Christian is being associated in any way with a potentially fringe Christian religiously motivated extremist group.
How dare you sully the good name of a peaceful religion that has never at any point in time engaged in random or raw acts of terrorism towards any people. Okay.
So Alex gets a little bit weird here because he has to deal with the existence of Christian identity
right.
as a thing.
Yes.
Because it's part of this story that he's decided to cover, and he's reading this Washington Post article. Maybe because he thinks he's going to get to a point where it says, let's ban religion, and doesn't. But in doing so, he ends up having to address the fact that Christian identity adherents do generally believe that white people are superior.
Sure.
And now he has to be like, why is that wrong?
Oh, God, no.
Which isn't great.
Federal investigators believe Rudolph has long been associated with the radical Christianity movement, which asserts that North European whites are the direct descendants of the lost tribes of Israel, God's chosen people. Some investigators also think he may have written letters that claim responsibility for the nightclub and abortion clinic bombings on behalf of the Army of God, a violent offshoot of Christian identity. Now, wait a minute. The Jews say they're the chosen people. Is that racist? Is it racist then if Northern Europeans say they're the chosen people? Is it racist when the black Muslims, certain sects of that, led by Khalid Muhammad, say that they are the chosen people? certainly we see this all over the world. There are a lot of different Asian groups that think that they are the chosen people. Most groups, if you really get down to the bottom line, think they're the chosen people. And it's very tribal. I mean, to say we're the chosen people, we're the best, we're better than anybody else. But why is it that only a few groups are allowed to say that they are the chosen people and it's not called racism?
Holy shit.
Well,
that's weird.
Yeah. I think he accidentally made a fairly cogent argument for the problem actually being people calling themselves the chosen people.
Well, yeah, and
maybe
I think...
Maybe you shouldn't be called the chosen people. I'm sure. Just tossing that out there.
I think that there is a religious tradition within Judaism of God's chosen people that does not denote or imply Jewish supremacy.
No.
And I think that that is something else that you have to sort of remove from the conversation. These notions are being used as something to gain something for a community that isn't about supremacy. It's not an issue.
No.
It is an issue when it comes to supremacist ideology.
There you go.
And some of the groups, sure, there are some black supremacist groups, and I think that you can call that racist.
Totally.
I think people do.
Yeah. It's the supremacy part.
Right. And trying to muddy that water is silly. And then secondly, using this argument only serves the purpose that Alex is driving towards, and that is to make white supremacy okay.
It's fine. It's fine.
Because there's other groups who do it.
Everybody is a supremacist for their own group. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. The problem is that people are judgmental towards other groups and not themselves. Wait, that is the problem.
It's a little bit of a strange position to be like white supremacy is fine because these other supremacist groups exist. I would say we could flip this argument and be like, no, white supremacy is not okay because it is one of the groups that is like all of these other groups that also are not great.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like that would be more what he would want to do. He likes people who bleed red blood. He loves everybody.
Yeah, it does seem like he's making the same moral argument as somebody who's like, I just stole that guy's car. Everybody's stealing cars. That guy stole cars. Why don't you go bother that guy?
Right.
Huh? Fuck you. I'm a car thief and I'm better at it. Like, fine. Okay. Great.
It does have a little bit of that feeling to it. Now, one could argue that maybe Alex just doesn't know all that much about what these people believe.
Doubtful.
Yeah. Especially because he goes on to talk about how he hangs out on racist message
boards.
There
we go.
Because I have to tell you that I surf around on the web. I see all these different sites. I look at Matcha. Who calls for killing whites on their own, on some of their websites. I look at all these different groups, white, black, it doesn't matter. And the most tame of all the racial identity groups is the Christian identity. You want to talk about amount of members and amount of violence that we can prove they've ever been involved in, they're the tamest group out there. Tamest group out there.
Wow.
Listen. What? That's like three bombings. That's three bombings. What? People have done 10 bombings. This is the best group out there.
Yeah.
Three bombs? What are you going to complain about three bombs? There's 10 bombs out there.
Very strange.
There's 10 bombers.
Very strange.
Barely qualifies as a serial bomber.
Boy, I would say that when you're in this territory for a defense, you're in trouble. This isn't good. When you're comparing terrorist groups and being like, hey, this one less effective or something.
What is that? These guys are so tame. Some people, they bomb a whole building. They just bomb the room. It's not a big deal.
I spend a lot of time on the, you know, places where virulent, hateful groups they get together and they discuss things, and I gotta say the one that happens to align with my belief system is probably the best of them.
Strange.
Yeah.
Strange how it works like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think at the end of the day, a lot of people think they're the chosen people. Group happens to be the best one.
So Alex has decided that Richard Jewell...
Jesus, even his evil supremacy groups are still white supremacists. Like, the white supremacists are even better at being white supremacists than other people are at being other supremacists.
Well, Yep, it seems to make sense. That tracks. So Alex believes that Richard Jewell was set up for he was a fall guy because he was getting too close to uncovering a plot by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Interesting.
I don't think this is true.
And they grabbed Richard Jewell, the security guard that got a little too close to the BATF, who I believe was behind the bombing at Olympic Park. They carry out most of the bombings. And they tried to frame him. He didn't roll over. Now they've got Rudolph, and they say they will torture terrorist suspects. They've said it on the news. You've seen them. You've heard them. You've read them saying it, calling for it all over the media. So you can't believe anything that ever comes out of their mouths or comes out of Rudolph's mouth now. Because they could torture the living daylights out of this guy. But I don't think he did it. Because they were having a lot of trouble with people peaceably protesting the abortion clinics.
Alex has no evidence that he provides to support his claim that Richard Jewell was blamed because he was getting too close to uncovering the ATF conspiracy behind the bombing. That's just from his imagination. I don't even give a shit.
Yeah, no.
However, at the end of that clip there, you can really see Alex doing his job, which is to do whatever he can to profit from tragedy. Rudolph was super clear about his motivation, and if Alex were to believe it, that would be challenging for him to cover. In order for this to be marketable for Alex, he needs to make this a false flag, and you can see him shamelessly do exactly that here. Rudolph was motivated by an extreme anti-abortion position, so Alex has rewritten the story to be that the feds are worried about anti-abortion activism, so they make up this patsy to demonize this group, and no matter what the news ever says, and no matter what he himself ever says, you can't believe that. It cannot be in any way disqualifying of whatever my assessment of this is,
right?
Because he was probably tortured, and everybody makes up everything anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
It's dumb. It's really dumb.
Yeah, yeah. That's frustrating. And it's frustrating, again, on a level of, like, man, if we didn't have that fucking torture memo, we wouldn't be tossing around torture as being fine all the goddamn time, you know? Like, that's also something that, when you go back and listen to that, I'm like, fuck you, you lying piece of shit. And at the same time, I'm taken back to 2003 listening to people be like, I think if you get the information, torture's fine. That was a conversation people just had.
Yeah.
Like, all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, how? And so if you hear that, somebody like relying on that kind of emotion of like, they're going to torture the dude, it's very easy to get overcome with that part because that's what people are saying around you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked.
Yeah. And I think that when Alex uses those kind of appeals for his arguments that are this clunky, what it does is a disservice to the real conversation about how bad torture is.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
I think you use it as a prop a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just kind of bad.
Yeah, it's a real, you know, like normally when he's jangling keys, most of the time he's just made up the keys over here. They're plastic and he bought them from, he stole them from a child, you know? This time he is jangling keys, but that key is fucking huge, you know? That's a real goddamn set of keys.
Yeah, but it's also a key that doesn't go to this lock.
No, absolutely not.
So
he's tossing them as far away from himself as you can, you know? Go look at those over there. Don't look at how all my friends bomb people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so Alex, like he keeps bringing up this one scene from his film, Road to Tyranny, 9/11, Road to Tyranny. Mm-hmm. And it just got annoying at a certain point. He just kept bringing it up.
Have you seen Road to Tyranny where they say Christians, period, founding fathers, period, homeschoolers, period, constitutionalists, period, are terrorists?
Yep. And okay, that particular 5-minute snippet was a piece of gold because if anything else, that particular snippet on your film 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, is without any exception, the biggest eye-opener.
It's the biggest eye-opener.
We've got a 90% conversion rate.
Well, with this, it's a huge eye-opener.
I mean, wow. Hey, you know that part of your film, the part that wasn't true?
Mm.
That scared me so much, that fake thing, that now I have disregarded all other reasoning or logic, and now everything you say is fine.
Well, here's the thing. I have, you know, a position that I feel drawn to things that are either going to change my mind.
Right.
Or I'm going to learn why it's wrong.
Correct.
Generally, that's something that, I mean, I don't think that, I don't know how to put this, but at the beginning when we started doing the show, I did not know all that much about like Alex's deeper beliefs and what have you. Mm-hmm. And I do think that I came in with a position of I don't think he's right, but if he is, I will have to adjust a lot of what I believe.
Of course.
He's been wrong almost exclusively since then.
Yes.
But this is being listed as a giant eye opener. Mm-hmm. You know, like this scene where they say that all Christians are terrorists. I feel drawn that like maybe I need to go and watch this documentary.
Could be.
Maybe I need to have my eyes opened.
I think I
need to challenge myself again.
Right. I think you're just describing what genuine curiosity is. Like that idea of I am interested in this regardless of the outcome.
Well, yes, but I'm not interested in this really.
Right.
I mean, I understand exactly I know how this propaganda works.
Of course.
Know that when they say like, yes, the founding fathers are terrorists, it's a discussion of, yes, they were. At that time, the British were the people who were in charge.
By definition.
They were an insurgent group.
By definition. You can't not say that.
I understand that argument or that discussion that was probably being had in this. So I'm not super curious, but if there's more to it, I should apprise myself of
it. Yeah, of course.
So
absolutely.
Maybe I will.
Maybe we've got that coming down the line.
Maybe.
Possible.
So, Alex trying to wrestle with the Eric Rudolph and the abortion clinic bombing stuff is hard. And I think he does a really bad job of it.
But the key thing that I really want
great
to remind myself and everybody else out there on is ask the Holy Spirit to discern in our hearts who Eric Rudolph's spiritual father is and intercede and pray for him on his behalf, because if anybody right now needs it in his situation, he does.
Well, Jeff, I really appreciate the call, and those are fine points. Let me just say this. Bombing abortion clinics is wrong and is bad. Abortion is wrong and is bad. But the reason bombing an abortion clinic is bad, number one, is that it's only going to aid the enemy. They're going to use that to demonize everybody that's peacefully protesting and that are turning the tide against abortion in this country.
There isn't a number two, and no, that is not why it's wrong.
Super not why it's wrong.
No,
it's wrong.
It's bombing.
It's in your own fucking book, idiot. Read your own fucking book for 1 second.
It's wrong for myriad reasons other than tactical concerns, which seems to be the only thing. He's worried about the optics of bombing abortion clinics as opposed to the inherent wrongness of the act, which is strange. And you hear this caller, he's saying we need to pray for Eric Rudolph.
Yeah, he cut him off before that caller was able to be like, I support Eric Rudolph for bombing those clinics.
No.
What?
Because the understanding of this is that he didn't do it. The globalists did it.
Oh.
The globalists did all of that.
Oh, okay.
Eric Rudolph is just an anti-abortion activist guy who's being pinned for this because they want to make the anti-abortion crowd look bad. The globalists are the ones who did all the bombings and everything. Eric Rudolph's just a good Christian man who we need to pray for help for.
I don't understand how you can live with the cognitive dissonance it requires to be like, that guy who did the thing that I want a person to do was obviously set up because they want to exploit the fact that I want that person to do things and thus pin the blame of those things that I want done but did not do on my movement.
I want them done, but recognize that it's bad tactics.
It's bad tactics!
The globalists would recognize that too, and they would want to make it look like I'm using bad tactics.
As a follower of Christ,
whoa,
as we all know, Christ was like, listen, turn the other cheek. Because it's a great tactical move, and when you're on the other side, you'll be able to come up with a left hook. That's how you do it.
Boy.
Yeah.
I never like it when I agree with Alex about, like, a conclusion, and then he explains why he believes something. Yeah. Like, no.
Nope,
no. That's wrong.
Damn it.
No.
God damn it.
You're a couple levels off from why this is wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the same reaction that they have to the sixth. Mm-hmm. That's the same reaction he has to the sixth. Like, this was a bad idea because we didn't do it at the right time.
Yeah.
We didn't succeed, so it was a bad
idea.
And
nobody who truly believed in our cause would have done this, therefore it was fake.
Exactly.
Nobody who truly believes in the anti-abortion stuff that we're making great progress with would blow it up.
Of course
because
not.
Because it's a bad optical, bad tactical decision, therefore right. the globalists did it. Very dumb. So,
yep.
Alex, I gotta say, he's pushing this Road to Tyranny clip, this specific clip, so hard.
It's up to you. Take the Road to Tyranny. Last comment. We have FEMA to a group of police on video saying Christians, the founding fathers, homeschoolers, gun owners, defenders of the U.S. Constitution are terrorists.
It's incessant at this point. It seems like something that he's completely enamored with at this point.
I think it's a good thing. Well, I mean, I think it's a 100% evil thing, but it's a good thing for him to suddenly be putting everybody on the terrorist side.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he did do it, which he didn't, we all know that it was the ATF who did it. He didn't do it. But if he did do it, you know that you need to be on his side because they're claiming that all of us are terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't even matter if he is or isn't a terrorist. They're saying we're all terrorists, so we should be on his side.
Sort of. I think the argument goes more like this.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying that all of us were terrorists.
Right.
In order to make it easier for them to say that this guy did it because he fits some of the descriptions
right.
that they were referring to as possible indicators of membership in fringe communities.
Well, since you've restated it, I mean, that's airtight.
Yeah.
Nothing I can say to that.
Mm-hmm. Amazing how all of these like just long-term plans these evildoers have engaged in that don't work.
They never work out.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're bad plans thought up by a moron.
Almost.
Yeah.
So Alex will not stop talking about that clip from his movie, but there's another thing that happened that he keeps forgetting to put in movies.
And there was only 10 black bloc in Austin. They run over. They say, "We are going to kill you." They said, because I was bullhorning that they were working with two cops that were controlling them that were in black ski mask. I got the media. I said, "We've got cops provocateuring a fight. We've got cops provocateuring violence." Cops ran across the street, pulled out their undercover guys. Then their anarchist came over. This redhead said, "I'm going to kill you." And I said, "You see the FBI up on those buildings? Those are your bosses." They said, "Yeah, they are. We're taking over." Man, they told me we work for the feds. They said they were so angry about the takeover. And I saw it right there. I faced evil. I faced government provocateurs. Man, I always forget to put that in a film.
Man.
Always. Always forget to put that in a film.
I love that.
It's almost like it happened totally, 100% did.
Yeah, and exactly how I'm describing
it. Exactly how I'm describing it. Yeah. I always forget to put the thing that would have really proved my point perfectly into that film.
That kind of disappoints me, because now, were I to go watch Road to Tyranny, I know that that clip isn't in there. I want...
No, it's not.
Alex is promoting that film so hard on this episode. And he's really piqued my interest.
Yeah.
And boy, I wish that clip was in there.
It's like a trailer for a film that was reshot.
Yeah.
All these scenes weren't in the movie.
What? I would guess that if this thing did happen, it was people fucking with him, as is almost always the case with any scandalous video that he gets on the streets.
I despise sometimes going back and remembering how anti-cop these people were. And how, it boggles my mind how the cops have no idea that the people who are most likely to have Blue Lives Matter flags are the people most likely to murder cops if they come to their door on the wrong day.
Mm.
Like, isn't that wild?
Yep. It certainly is.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Goddamn fascists.
So the rest of this episode is Alex talking to these folks about their...
their nurse
who wanted to take their baby,
their firstborn child,
for a ritual or something. I don't know. And I couldn't make sense of it. Like, I was trying to, could not make sense of it. And I would guess, you know, like, I've just not, you know, I'm not 100% right now. And so it was tough for me to get another episode in 2003. And so this is it.
You know what bums me out about that call?
What's that?
If you are afraid of them saying, we don't want your money, we want your firstborn child, doesn't that suggest you think there was a possibility that they could have pulled it off? You know, like they could have taken the kid.
But I think that people like Alex do believe that happens all the
time. That's true. That's true. They wouldn't be like, hey, you'd have to get through all these places. There's, you can call somebody. The cops will show up if they stole your baby.
Like, no. I think it's just a yoink situation.
Is that what they think?
Yeah.
You can even call the insurance company. The insurance company would go after them.
Yoink.
The insurance company wants their money more than they want the baby.
Yoink. I believe that you have not provided a rebuttal to the yoink argument.
That's true. The yoink argument would have...
It's tough to get around.
So they're giving birth, but the family's not in the room.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed anywhere near the hospital. Mm-hmm. So they're going to yoink, disappear. Are they even going to replace it with a changeling? Are they even going to give him a changeling?
An evil stork comes in.
The evil stork.
So what he does,
yes,
replaces your baby with a Vlasic pickle.
Ooh, that's brutal. That's an evil fucking stork.
Yoink.
I like the idea of it. The stork brings you a baby, but there's a cuckoo stork who's following after him and every now and again just steals a baby.
It's the Krampus of storks.
Yes, it's the Krampus of storks.
Oh, God.
That is something we should scare people with.
Yeah. I feel a little bit bad. I think there's some really terrible timing and unfortunate timing on our part that, you know, I'm not feeling well around the same time that you're taking off. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Indeed, we will.
Yeah.
Until then.
I guess we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight. Go to bed, Jordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. Download the show, iTunes. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work right now.
We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.